Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about sleeping apart from your husband or wife. Will it add more years onto your life? Well, you know, the experts, they always got something to say. And yesterday, I came across an article that said that, you know, because of all of the, let's say, trouble spots of sharing a bed with your mate, you may shorten the days of your life. Such as snoring and pulling up covers and, you know, the alarm going off and the difference between your hours and, you know, he or she, you know, what their hours they're keeping off and on, up and down, in and out. With all that going on, they're saying it affects your sleep. And because it affects your sleep and you don't get the rest that you're supposed to get, they say the physical answer to that is to get two separate beds. Yes, yes, yes. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Well, back in the day, you know, they did it. You know, can you imagine if Ralph and Trixie, I done added a new thing to the honeymooners dynamic. Norton and Trixie used to have, you know, twin beds, and let's say Lucy and Ricky Ricardo, they had separate beds. Or, you know, I remember a couple of older couples had different rooms. Yes, they had totally different rooms altogether. And, you know, listen, they made it work. Yeah, they lived for years afterwards. But you know what? We're not going to go with that advice. No, we're not going to go with that advice. There's so many more people who have made it work while sleeping in the same bed. Yeah, you know, these married couples, You know, they have their own dynamic. God gives you the proper dynamic to use for your marriage if you follow God. And guess what? You'll be able to make it too. Yes. So we don't want to, you know, the experts, quote unquote, you know, say a whole lot of things. And you know, you got to go to someone who's spiritual. You got to go to someone who is seeking God for God's people. You know, I always tell people, you know, we as Christian people, we have no business, none at all, following just general therapists. Because just because their advice may not be destructive, it may not be conducive to the ways of the Lord. Yes. You know, so if your kids got issues, or you got an issue, or you as a couple have an issue, you know, find someone who is Christian, because then they can point you to the ways of the Lord. Now, in the Bible, it does not come out and directly say, hey, don't sleep in two separate beds. But it does say something to the effect of, don't let your bed, your marriage bed, be defiled. So they didn't say your marriage beds, plural. No. It says don't let your marriage bed. Listen, let's talk a minute, because, you know, let's talk about it Tuesday. It says that, you know, we should make sure that before we even abstain from sex, that we agree as to how long, so that the enemy doesn't even get a foot in the door. So, if it's doing all of that, why would it look like we're supposed to have two different beds? See, you see what I'm talking about? Oh, okay, you know, listen, if you do enough studying, you'll catch up. You'll catch up to the way God wants to do things, okay? All righty. Well, we could not get through a Monday without having our switch tip with Shantice. And the switch tip yesterday was, trust God, not the streets. Well, isn't that what we just got finished talking about? Yes. You know, there are so many remedies to so many things, but very few godly remedies are used in the street. You know, that's why you got to be very careful about who you take your counsel from. Yes, you can't be doing stuff all willy-nilly. Yeah, you can't be doing what works, quote-unquote, for other people. Yeah, you got to make sure that you're doing things God's way. You cannot take the word of someone in the street, because they may have your well-being at heart, but are they going to really be able to connect you with the things of the Lord? And that's the challenge. Because a lot of times, again, like I said a little while ago, you know, people believe that, well, it don't hurt, you know, and they don't take the time to connect it with Christ-like things. So, of course, as long as it don't, you know, as long as it don't hurt you and people don't see, you know, results that come out, you know, destructive or harmful, they're like, well, why can't you? And we can't live like that. We have to make sure that we are always trusting God and not the streets. Okay? All right. Well, that was another great switch tip, and it went right along with our conversation yesterday. As always, God always connects the dots. Okay? Well, if you did not listen, you definitely want to go back to that switch tip. Okay? All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, and we got some talking to do. So I want you to get those pens and papers. I got some information for you. Yeah, and it's kind of lengthy, you know, so we're probably going to go over this next couple of days. So definitely get those pens and papers ready because I got some stories. Since it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, I've got some stories for you. Yeah, the news is just straight buck wild. I remember now why I didn't listen to the news or read the news or watch the news prior to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Because, I mean, yo, really? Yeah. So we're going to talk about these things. And I want, listen, I want you to talk back to me. These are going to be some great conversation starters. And I want to hear from you. 347-285-7777. Yes, I want to hear from you. Give me a holler. Well, give Shantice a holler. Let her know what you're thinking. And I'm telling you, you're going to get an opportunity to talk back. Okay? Because these stories today really make you go, All righty. So, hey, get that pen and paper. Get that healthy breakfast. And let's get to taking that break. Call a friend. Text a friend. Tell them it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, church folk day. And this is still, after 60-something weeks, the most favorite day of the week. People love church folk listening and being talked about. Yeah, we don't hide nothing here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. Listen, we just going to talk about things and, you know, it's on you. Okay? You the one that got to figure out how it's going to work because we're going to talk about it. But you got to learn something. So, hey, don't move. Yes, you can do all of those things and not budge from where you are. See, you should have come to the table already prepared. We'll be right back.
Anybody can have a stroke.
And anyone,
even you, can prevent a stroke-related death.
Someone has a stroke every 40 seconds.
Every 40 seconds.
140,000 people die each year from a stroke.
140,000.
But you.
You.
You can put a stop to that death count by remembering FAST.
FAST. The acronym FAST.
F. Face.
Ask the person to smile. Is there a droop in one side of their face?
A is arms.
Ask a person to raise both their arms. Does one of them drift down?
N.
S. Speech. Speech. Ask that person to repeat a simple.
A simple phrase.
Is their speech slurred or strange?
AST. Time. If any of these signs occur, call 911 immediately.
Immediately.
Remember FAST.
FAST.
And spread the word.
Repeat.
To defeat stroke.
Good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And I am loaded with things to talk about today. So I really hope that you got your writing pen. It's got a lot of ink in it. Don't get no back of no piece of mail because that's the first thing you saw. Yeah, have you ever done that? I know I do that all the time. I take, like, some mail, and I know I'm going to keep the mail, and the mail is, like, good mail, and I'm not going to throw it out, and I go and I write notes on it. And then I put it with all the other stuff, but I remember which, you know, mail that I used, but then it's in the bunch of mail. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that, like, counter? Yeah. So don't do that. I told you. Listen, go to the 99 cent store, Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar General, and get a brand new pad. Because, you know, these lists can be pretty extensive at times. And we don't want to be writing on, you know, a little piece of paper we didn't rip or the back of a napkin. Oh, tissue. Sheets, towels, clothing. Yeah, my mother was like that. She always wanted to write. And anywhere she could find to any surface, she'd be writing on. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, what are you doing? So don't do what she did. You need some space today, for real. You do need some space. And let's get to getting this information. Okay, so thank you for joining me today. Now, this is just the first piece we're starting with today. So get ready, because there's going to be some news stories that I want you to talk back. So listen. We're talking about foods that basically never go bad. Yes, foods that just, you could keep, like, years, months. You don't have to ever worry about. Okay? But before we get there, I need to go over some labeling. And me and my kids battle over this all the time. So get ready. What does best if used by or before? Best if used by or before. What does it mean? Oh, okay. Did you get it right? The date indicates when a product will be of best flavor or quality. It is not a purchase date or a safety date. Best if used by or before is the date they give you when the product will be of best flavor or quality. Okay? All righty. It's not a purchase or a safety date. All right, the second one. Sell by. The sell by date tells the store how long they can display the product for sale. It is not a safety date. Okay, so in other words, they got to take it off the shelf. Okay, sell by date tells the store how long to display the item for sale, and that's for their inventory purposes. It is not a safety date. Ready? Use by. The use by date is the last date recommended for the use of that product at its peak. You're going to get the best quality, okay, from that use by date. Okay, and they say that, too, is not a safety date, except for formula. Okay, all righty. Freeze by. All right, well, that's the date when that item should be frozen to maintain its best quality. That, too, is not a purchase or safety date. So we got best if used by or before, which indicates when it's, you know, that item is going to be of best flavor or quality. Sell by tells the store how long it can display it for their inventory purposes. Use by is the last date they recommend for the use of the product while it's at its peak quality. And freeze by indicates when a product should be frozen to maintain that peak quality. Now, none of these are a safety date. None. Okay? And two of them are not a purchase date. Okay? So they're saying, listen, you want to know how long it can be before you eat, you know, or stop eating these items? They say smell it. Make sure you look through it. They say spoiled foods always develop an odor, some type of flavor being off, or the texture. Okay? So here's what I always say. If it ain't green, it don't smell, there's no mold, it's safe to eat it. Yes, let me go over that again. If it doesn't smell, it doesn't have mold, it hasn't turned green, and it don't taste bad, it's fine to eat. And I just got finished showing you so. Okay? So for those of you who, you know what, after 2 days you don't want it no more and, you know, all that kind of stuff, then let me tell you. There are things, and I don't know if we've gone over it before. I don't think so. Well, there are, like, foods once it's cooked, they tell you, you know, don't eat this after, you know, these many days and things like that. And a lot of times, because when you have cooked food, remember now, you've got miscellaneous items in that cooked food. So corn may not last as long as string beans, and string beans may not last as long as peas or, you know, things like that. And now you done mixed all of this stuff up, and are you going to pick the corn out? Are you going to pick the peas out? Are you going to pick the green beans out? No. So something may taint the rest of the dish, and, you know, it's no longer, you know, viable to eat. So we're going to, now that you've established that, now that you can now go back to your friend, your partner, your kids, and go, see, told you, I'm going to give you some items that you can actually sit down and not really worry about whether it's going to go bad or not. Now, we're not talking about cooked foods. We're not talking about cooked items. We're talking about just generic items, standalone items. You ready? All righty. Foods that you really don't have to worry about them spoiling. Ready? Bottled water. Yes. Now let's go into this a little bit, because this is really a safety tip that I do know I have seen many, many times. Bottled water will not go bad unless you keep it in the sun in the summertime. You know, like if you ride around with water in your car and the car gets to be like 200, 300 degrees, yeah, you can't keep that water. Keep that water in a room temperature of, you know, just basic degrees, okay? And they tell you frozen water. Yeah, the bottles are being made, you know, BPA, you know, so they're a little, you know, they can be trusted. But the water itself is not going bad. It's the way it's stored. So make sure you store your water in a generic, reasonably temperature place. okay? And that way you don't ever have to worry about that water. Yes, water does have an expiration date on it. And that was, and we read about that when we did our water list, and they said they just do that for purposes, again, of inventory. So they'll know when they put that water out. All right? So bottled water is good to go as long as you make sure you keep it under the proper temperature. All right? Two, sugar. When sugar is stored in the pantry cabinet, as we call it, in a dark, dry, cool place, sugar won't ever spoil. Okay? They say, but if you want the best quality out of your sugar, make sure you use it within 2 years. Okay? So you got up to 2 years to use the sugar, and it's at its best quality. But hey, sugar never goes bad. Okay? Well, they say, check out those low-acid canned goods. Low-acid canned goods. Yes, I'm going to give you the list. Okay? Canned meat, canned beans, peas, soups, or vegetables, tuna fish, okay, never go bad. They say those things will keep from anywhere from 2 to 5 years. Just make sure that the expiration date, you know, you check that, what it says, best if used by, you know, things like that, okay? But they say 2 to 5 years. Now, the high-acid canned goods like tomato sauce and canned fruit, they say 18 months. 18 months. Okay? They say never put these canned goods above the stove or under the sink. Okay? Don't keep them in the damp garage or a basement or anywhere where the temperature is either extremely low or extremely high. They say make sure it's around 85 degrees. That's or below 85 degrees, okay? And make sure that the cans are not dented and bulging or rusted. Yeah. Okay? So remember now, low acid foods such as canned meat, tuna, beans, peas, soups, or vegetables, they can last anywhere from 2 to 5 years. Those other high-acid canned foods, tomato sauce, canned fruit, things like that, 18 months. Make sure you store all of it in its proper setting under 85 degrees. All right? Soy sauce. Oh, thank you, good, thank you, God, because I didn't keep some soy sauce now. Ah, soy sauce, number four is soy sauce. They say unopened, you can keep soy sauce for up to 3 years, okay? They say if you open it, keep it in the refrigerator where it'll last, just as long, just as long. So soy sauce unopened, you ain't got to worry about it. It can go up to 3 years or longer. And they say, but once you open the soy sauce, you know, you really got to learn. And I had to learn this the hard way, so I'm going to pass on this little piece of information. Make sure we're reading our bottles, jars, and, the things that come in a can or whatever, but especially jars and bottles. Does it say refrigerate after opening? Yes. Now, that's different than when we did the other stuff that you don't keep in the refrigerator. Yeah, that's separate. Okay, sometimes we just throw all kinds of things up in there. But some things need to be refrigerated once it's opened, okay? And number five, rice and dried pasta. They say you can keep this stuff up to 2 years. Okay, rice and dried pasta. So those are the five things that you don't have to worry about spoiling as long as you keep them under good conditions, as long as you store them under good conditions. Bottled water, sugar, low-acid canned goods, and high-acid canned goods, soy sauce, and rice and dried pasta. All right? And we'll continue this list, you know, another day. Okay? All right, let's get to our news. Because we got to talk to our clergy today for our Church Folk Day segment. Okay? Well, the first story is, they're saying the widow of a D.C. police officer who was a part of that January 6th riot on Capitol Hill, he committed suicide. And she wants it switched to him dying in the line of duty. Yeah. And here's why. Here's why. Very interesting. You know, initially at first glance, I was like, yo, come on, for real? If he committed suicide? Well, he did. He did. He was a 12-year veteran, and he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Listen to this. Listen to this. That's also, we got to pay attention. He was ordered to return to work 8 days after the Capitol insurrection, where he was struck in the head by a metal pole. And because of that, I guess he couldn't handle it. He actually committed suicide. And the wife, the widow, wants it changed to death in the line of duty. Now, I can see, let's talk about this. I can see why she would look at it this way. And here's her logic. Her logic is, listen, he wasn't off the job. He had been hurt on the job. He had been hit with a metal pole in his head, which caused him to be out, not that long, but it caused him to be out after the riot, after being a part of the riot. 8 days later, he was supposed to be back, okay? Well, he then, I guess it was just too much for him, so he shot himself. And that kind of makes sense to me, you know, as a person who worked in this field for quite a few years, a couple decades, to be honest. You know, when you think about it, was he on a job? Yeah. Because, see, here's what happens if he was the second guy who committed suicide after that insurrection. And what they say is that military deaths, the people who die in the line of duty, those women and men get an entirely different benefit. Their family gets an entirely different benefit, I should say. Okay? And when a police officer commits suicide, they only get $370,000, you know, their family does. And remember now, if they commit suicide, they don't get that. So she's trying to protect the fact that, hey, we need this money because we can't afford not to get anything. So I want to hear from you, 347-285-7777. Text in, 347-285-7777. Do you think that because he got hurt on the job, and clearly this hit in the head with a metal pole, you know, did some damage, that he should be, you know, classified as died in the line of duty and the family get the death benefit? Because, listen, he got hurt on the job. Now, he ended up committing suicide shortly thereafter, but the initial issue started while he was in the line of duty. So does that make a difference to you? Do you say, hey, listen, suicide is suicide. He should have gone somewhere and gotten some, you know, some mental health, some therapy, and then, hey, they could have handled it, and he would could possibly still be here. Or, you know what, it started off with him getting in, hitting the head, and he should be compensated. The family should be compensated accordingly. All right, so come on, come on, because there's something else that you, so get on in, get to texting 347-285-7777. Okay, so here's another one. Here's another one. I want to hear from you. Let's talk about this thing here today. Well, they've got a parole, a yes to parole. Now, check this out. There was a guy who, and this is a real twisted story because I had to read this like several times. I had to read this several times. Okay. So let me see if I can get this right. Two men went out to commit a crime. One of them, I guess, violated whatever they were supposed to do. So man A kills man B. But let me tell you how he kills them. Let me get to it, because this makes the difference possibly for you. It says he took him, drove him somewhere to an isolated place. He made him dig his own grave. Him and another guy beat this particular guy with a baseball bat and a shovel, stabbed him with a knife, choked him with a telephone wire, and buried him alive. Okay, so let me help you with this again. Okay, him, this guy, and another guy. They were kids. They were 16 and 17 years old. Okay, I'm adding that in this go round because I need you to decide whether all of these things make a difference. Okay, the 16 and 17 year olds, three of them. They go out to commit a crime, and somebody violates, okay? They drive him off to an isolated area. They force him to dig his own grave. They beat him with a baseball bat and a shovel. They stab him with a knife. They choke him with a telephone wire, and then they throw him in the ditch, and they bury him alive. So, we're talking about the main one. He goes to jail, okay? And I'm trying to see how many years he did. I had all this stuff before. But he does 20 years. He receives a life sentence. He receives a life sentence. I'm sorry, not 20 years. He receives a life sentence. Well, he goes up for parole, and they say no. No, no, no. He goes up for parole about 16 months later, 13 months later, and they say yes. Now, the first time they go up for parole, they tell him no because they don't feel he's learned a lesson. You know, they give this list of why they feel he should not get parole. And now here it is, 13 months later, the family is in an uproar because now the same ones who said, hey, absolutely not, they say yes. Because he was a kid at the time, he should have matured by now, and they think he's learned his lesson, and they give him parole. And the family is like, what? Just 13 months ago, you said no. What is this now? Should he get parole? Now, remember now, he was initially sentenced to life. 16 and 17-year-old, these people were, these guys were, and now. So I want to hear from you. 347-285-7777. Come on, I need you to text in and let us know what's going on. We're going to come back, and Shantice is going to give us our, Shantice is going to give us our poll, okay? So the last story, our final story, is, are you ready for this? Now check this one out. Everything kind of fell in line with my conversation that I want to have with, you know, with the clergy today. Everything was about going to jail, and it just so happened to kind of click with it. So check this out. There's a guy who goes to jail. He gets into some vehicle chase with a cop car, and he ends up smashing up the cars and all kind of things, and he serves 4 years into the sentence. And all of us, so he starts moving around. They move him around during the 4 years, but this last place they move him is unexpected. Now, he's been moved around because he always has problems with the COs. So he was, all of a sudden they just move him. 26 years old, and they just decide to move him to a correctional facility, okay, way out where, okay? He ends up in the same, ready, same state, same facility, same unit, and then same cell with the same guy who was charged and sentenced for raping his sister. You got it? You raped my sister. And now, after doing 4 years, I kind of get shuffled around, and now I land in not only the same facility, I end up in the same pod with you, same cell, okay? So he says he's completely thrown. He's like, what in the world is going on? So he goes to a correction officer, and he says, listen, I need you to change my cellmate. I need a new cellmate. And the correction officer says, get away from here. You know what? Nobody called for you. Go ahead. Okay? Because in his head, he's trying to avoid anything he may do. All right? So they don't pay him any attention. So he goes back, and he says, listen, there's a button that you press. I guess like a panic button or a call button. If you get into something with your cellmate, you press this button, and they come out. Well, he goes back. He presses the button, and nobody answers. Nobody answers. Okay? And he's like, okay, so what's going on here? Well, here's what happens subsequently. He says, after a while, he couldn't take it anymore. He said, you know, I gave my life to the Lord. I gave up gangbanging. I'm trying to live a good life. And, I'm in the same cell with the man who raped my sister. And not only am I in the same cell with the man who raped my sister, but he's bragging about all the other rapes he's done. All the other criminal acts he's done, he's bragging about it. How dare you? Well, he gets to beating him up. He beats him in the head, beats him in the face. He stomps and kicks him. He ends up dying. And now they add another 24, 25 years to his sentence already. Now, he wouldn't have been up in there that long. He wasn't like the rapist who was in there for quite a bit of time, because he was serving a 43-year prison term for all of the sexual acts that he had done. So he wasn't going to spend that kind of time. But now he's saying to himself, well, wait a minute. Did they set me up? Do you think it was a setup? Now, remember, when he first noticed the guy, hey, this is the same guy, he went to the correction officer. He asked, hey, get me somebody else. Pull me out. Pull him out. Relocate me. Do whatever you got to do. He's like, yo. Go sit down somewhere. Nobody called you. He goes back. He presses the panic button. I'm calling it a panic button. He presses the panic button, the call button, whatever you want to call it, and they ignore him. And then down the line, you know, he's trying to focus on the fact that he's giving his life to the Lord. You know, I'm changing up. I'm not doing these things wrong anymore. You know what? Maybe I can do this. Well, he couldn't. He couldn't. He ended up killing a guy. And now he's got to do 25 more years. Woo! All right. So let me talk to my peoples. Listen, 347-285-7777. I need you to hit me up and let me know what you think. If you think that it was a setup. Now, remember, there's three things you're going to hit us up for. One, the widow of the D.C. police officer who wants this suicide this thing to be gone. She wants him to be classified as dying in the line of duty. Number two, should the man have been given parole 13 months after being told? Absolutely not. He's now being told yes because maybe he learned his lesson. He was a kid. You know, he wasn't mature, blah, 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 blah. Should he have gotten parole? And number three, do you think it was a setup? Oh, we got some stuff to talk about today here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. Where's my Pastor Charlotte? Where she at? Where she at? Where she at? Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Girl, I'm hot. I don't know what to think. I got all kind of things going on in my head. Because some of this stuff could go either way. And I'm trying to be like, well, I'm sure glad I'm not on the jury or the decision maker in these things. Okay, so let's take these situations. First situation is about the widow. Do you think that they should classify her husband's death as a suicide where she would get no benefits? And or change it to him dying in the line of duty where they can get the $350,000 benefit. And I think it also comes with health benefits. What do you think and why?
Okay. I think that she should get it because when he got hit in the head, it wasn't like so long after that, because you said it was only 8 days. So I think because by that hitting him in his head, yes, he could have got some help, you know, but it was still in a time frame. I think that it was still in the time frame. And maybe, you know, getting hit in the head, you know, you don't know what would have happened to somebody. You know, mind loss, you want to get that, you know, go into depression, you know, a bunch of stuff that will go on in his brain. So I think that she should get it. And when he was talking about it, it took me back to when we was just talking about the babysitter, you know, where the baby got shook for 5 months, and now they want to lock her up for 35 years. So y'all want to do that. Get this lady this money so she'll be able to take care of her family and herself. So I think that she does deserve the money because it's in a time frame, you know, and because of the hit was on the job, it's an on-the-job injury, just as well as, you know, getting hurt on the job and years down the line, you know, you keep your medical papers and you're able to switch it over, you know, and be able to get some money from that too. Disability, that's the word.
Okay, okay. We're here. Mm-hmm. Being that we're weighing out three different things, let's get Minister AJ, and we're going to weigh in on this same particular story. All right, Pastor
okay.
Sean? All right, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our fathers in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All righty. Grace and mercy and peace be with you as well. Good morning. How are you today, my dear?
I am doing quite well, thank you. How are you doing today?
That's well. I want to say I'm doing quite well, thank you. I don't want to be less than you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Come on. Come on here, quite well. Come on.
So listen, we're talking about this widow whose husband was hit in the head during the insurrection, and he, not that long later, committed suicide, and she wants this overturned and considered to be, you know, death, you know, in the line of duty. What do you think they should do?
I think they should overturn it. I mean, he did get hit, you know, in the head, and I don't feel like they gave him enough recovery time, you know, and it's quite evident by him committing suicide. He should have had more time for him to come back so quick. I think they should definitely overturn it and give that woman her money.
All righty. So, okay, so everybody, come on, I need you to send that, your vote, 347-285-7777. Which way do you think it should go? All right. We now have the parolee now. He didn't initially start off as a parolee, but remember he committed this crime back when he was 16 years old. And, you know, he and another guy buried an accomplice to a crime, and they beat him, choked him, stabbed him, strangled him, made him dig his own grave, threw him in, and buried him alive. Do you think that he should now get parole? Now, keeping in mind, the family is in an uproar because just 13 months earlier, he was up for parole, and they told him no. Did it feel that he had done enough time and he hadn't learned his lesson? And I'm sorry. And now here it is. They're willing to give him this time because they figure he had done enough time. And, you know, he was a kid. Learned his lesson. Now,
mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I was trying to find him. He served 4 decades in prison. So now he's 58 when he's out. That's the part I was looking for. So he served
mm-hmm.
40 years on this sentence. Of this sentence, remember, it was life. So clearly it wasn't life without
mm-hmm.
parole because he was a kid. So they gave him life. After serving 40 years, he's 58. And they're like, okay, it's now time. Minister AJ, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he should have gotten parole or no?
I think he should be able to get parole. I mean, everybody deserves a second chance, you know, grace, mercy, you know. So I think he should definitely be able to gain parole because, you know, like they said, you know, and they're watching him in there. So they know his actions. They know exactly what he's doing. So evidently for them even to consider him having parole, he must be in there with some type of changed behavior. And he is 58 now. I mean, you know, he now still has to regroup and learn how to do regular life all over. 58, yeah, it's time to let him go.
Okay, okay. Pastor Charlene, what say you?
Well, mm-hmm. Well, my answer is a little different. Yes, we all can change. Yes, God, you give us grace and mercy. Yes. But my answer is no. I don't think that he's ready yet to come out yet. he did a lot. You know, you buried my loved one alive. You strangled him. You stabbed him. You know, it was a lot that came with that. I don't think, and you were supposed to get a life, I don't think, 30, what'd you say, 50 who? 58?
He served 40 years in that life sentence. He's now 58, and he has
okay.
parole.
Right. Not yet. Maybe the next
okay.
go around. But not
okay.
yet.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about this last one where the inmate was trying, you know, he landed after being shuffled around. He landed in the same, now let's got to do this layers. There's a reason why I'm doing these layers. He landed in the same state, facility, unit, pod, and then cell as the guy who strangled, I'm sorry, not strangled, raped his sister. And he called out to the COs. He went to the COs, listen, hey, I need to be moved. I've given my life to the Lord. I dropped the gang thing. I do not do gangs anymore. I'm trying to make sure, you know, I keep my head straight. I'm trying to make sure I do the right thing. And we need to either change him or change me. They paid him no mind, told him to get away. He went back to the cell. He pressed that call button. Nobody answered. He said nobody ever came to the cell. And then he ended up one day after the guy had been known to brag about all of the little sex crimes that he had done. And he said that the sister was still a minor. So she was a minor when he committed the crime, and then she was a minor at this time. And he couldn't do it anymore. He ended up kicking, you know, stomping him, punching him in the head, all of this stuff, and he ends up dying. And now he gets 25 years added to his sentence. He says, listen, I was framed. Just too much. What do you think, Pastor Charlotte?
Absolutely. Soon as you said it, I was like, set up. I guess I watched too much TV. But
okay.
They brought him in, and whoever those other ones that he have raped might have been related to some of the officers. I do know in prison they turn their back. They get paid off, you know. So I said that it was a setup for you to go there because they know what everybody's crime is. They know the families that they, you know, because they have a file. So, you know what? Let's get him. And then this way, our hands is clean. And eventually, you know, he going to run his mouth. And he's going to be pressed, you know. So they done had a conversation. And like you said, if there's a button in there that they press, it didn't work because they unhooked it. You know, it was a straight setup for him, and they wanted to see how far that he was going to be able to hold on. So it's
okay.
You know, that's my thing. Setup, yes.
All righty. Minister AJ, what's your thought? Do you think it was a setup, or hey, coincidence is happening?
Nah, definitely a setup. Definitely a setup because rape is one of those crimes that it's automatically looked at a certain way in jail. You know, you say rape, you already know the inmates is coming for you. So the fact that he came to you, you know what I'm saying, and then you did nothing about it, you was like, it was pretty much, it is what it is, or let whatever happens happen. It was definitely a setup.
Okay, okay. So listen, my listeners. I need to get some feedback from you. Got three different cases where, you know, some crime went down and, you know, something ain't right now afterwards. 347-285-7777. We're coming back and we're getting that, you know, those poll numbers and those comments. And I'm sure Shantice is going to have some stuff to read. So we're really looking forward to it. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Now, it was something I wanted to ask both of you about I think it was the middle one, but I can't remember now. You know, I looked up and I came across revenge. Vengeance, revenge, however you want to classify this. And we know, you know, what God says about revenge. And, you know, we have, do people use parole as revenge? Because that's the only way you can kind of get back at, you know, the person. Because, you know, just like Pastor Charlin and Minister AJ said, you know, there is honor amongst thieves, in a sense. You know, as crazy as that is, you know, like they said, you know, the rape and things like that, they're seriously frowned upon, especially if it's old people or babies, young people. They are really, and those COs know good and well, they drop that information and they let the other inmates at you. Is that a form of revenge? What do you think, Pastor Charlin? The parole thing, you know, especially for you saying, hey, you know what, nah, right now it's not, maybe next time. Can that be seen as revenge, or is it just, you know, hey, it's just time that you have to pay, and I do have some input, you know, in regards to this parole, because that was one of the problems that the sister had to the guy who got murdered and buried alive. She was like, hey, you know what? I didn't chase 11 parole hearings. So I guess she was standing between him and maybe the other guy. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Just 13 months ago, you said, yeah, no. Now here you are saying, yeah, something didn't change in 13 months. Can that be seen as revenge?
Oh me. Sorry, I was waiting for you to say my name. Can it be as a revenge? I'm like on both ends on that. I'm going to push more on yes. The reason I'm saying that is because that when they come out, when you get parole, right? Well, I'm trying to make sure that this is like, when they get parole, they come out. A lot of times is when they're inside, you think that they have learned their lesson until they come out. Now they're on familiar ground, you know, and a lot of times that with the family, of course, you know, the family, they don't want them to come out. And then it's like with them, it's more like I've been in there so long, you know, and the jailhouse becomes their home. So a lot of times they go back. And so when you say in revenge on whose behalf though, see, because it can work in on the favor of the family, or it can work, and that's why I'm saying I'm on the fence, because it can work on the favor of the family side, or it can work on the favor of the inmate side. So that's why I'm saying that I'm on the fence with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, the inmate wouldn't be exacting any revenge.
Oh,
he's just coming out.
I did it. I'm out. But listen, I did it. I'm out. And now I get a chance, you know, and now I'm going to torment your family. Because now wherever you at, I can see you. That's what I mean by revenge.
Okay, so now he's going to pursue the family for what purpose? This is your story. Why are we pursuing the family?
Just because the purpose is because you thought I was never coming out. You thought that you would never see me no more.
Okay, all right. So that would be revenge on the parolee side.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? All righty.
Yeah.
All righty. All right. Minister AJ, what do you think? Do you think some revenge could kind of end up in there somewhere?
Absolutely. I think sometimes that's the way people look at a person, you know, the more years you give them. So them not letting him out or letting them go for parole, I definitely think they view that as revenge. You know, you in here, you're rotten in here, you're in jail. This is revenge for what you've done to our family members or friends or whoever. So definitely, I think they definitely look at that as revenge. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what does the Bible say about revenge? Let's look at Romans 12:19. We're going to have some Bible study here today. And if my iPad wants to behave here, give me a second, please. So I can pull up these scriptures so we can see what the Lord says, how the Lord looks at this stuff here. So Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. So this is kind of like a little sticky situation because they allow you to be a part of the decision making. So how do we, based on that scripture, how do we need to look at our participation in this do you get out on parole thing? Pastor Charlotte.
We become just as guilty as them because on the word, you know, we're not supposed to. It's the Lord, you know. Wow. See, now you're making me think of what I said, making me feel bad. That was the Lord. It's okay. Not you personally. I know with God's word because I thought about it too. It's like we're taking it in our own hands. You know, we become just as bad as the person who did it. We are just as, you know, victim too. And it goes back to where that, you know, when Minister AJ said that, you know, they change. You know, people change, you know. Grace and mercy, we've all gotten it, you know, of things that we have been guilty of, things that crimes that we have. We might not have murdered, you know, shooting somebody with a gun, but we might have murdered with our mouth, you know, and, you know, of their spirit, you know. So I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I just want to repent. Lord, forgive me, Jesus.
Oh my goodness gracious. You got a repentant spirit, Lord. Oh my goodness. Alright. The journey has just begun. You know, journey has just begun. Because I got some other scripture here. Minister AJ, based on that scripture, you know, you want to elaborate a little bit into to some thought that you have.
My thought is just hands off, you know, as believers, hands off. And I think a lot of times
we forget to even pray. You know, we're going through a situation and we allow our emotions and what we feel to get in the way of what's written in the Word. You know, take your emotions and your feelings off the table and give it to God. You know, a lot of times, even as Christians sometimes, oh, if it was me, this is the way I would handle it. Well, it's not you and it's not about you. You know what I'm saying? Take your hands off the situation and let God be God. And, you know, and that's something that the last couple of months I've been like, you know what, you got to push past what you feel, AJ. Even sometimes, you know, the simple things, just push past what you feel. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't push past what we feel to align it with the Word.
Okay, okay. Now, this is something that...
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, and that goes into, just like when we go to jury duty, examples, and I know that, like, when they have called me, and I'll be like, you know, I really don't want to do this because now you're in a spot where that you have to make that decision, too. I mean, it's not you just by yourself, you know, everybody.
No, you're a part,
but
you're a part of.
And, you know, so when you have to go to that, it's like, where do you fit in? You know what I mean? Because of the fact that that's the first thing that you're going to think of, you know. Just like what I said, you know, God has allowed us to, you know, people do change. People, some people are guilty, you know, in the world, but then, you know, they were. It's really not enough evidence. So what do you do? What do you do, you know? So it just made me think of jury duty, you know, of what, you, what you're asking. Just made me think of that.
Okay.
Where do we fit in, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, since you brought it up, Minister AJ, what do you think of jury duty? Do you think that Christians should serve? And y'all didn't walk into my why do we do what we do. That's one of the things that we covered. Why do we do what we do? Jury duty. Should we serve as Christian people? Should we serve on a jury? What do you think, Minister AJ?
I'm going with a no on that. I'll be honest. I have always hid from jury duty. Not saying this. I just don't think we should. The reason being, too, sometimes people have a way of persuading you, they can make a case look good and know that the person is wrong. And then what happens when you've been sitting there for countless hours and now you're just ready to just get it over? You know what I mean? And it may not be the right decision that you're making. You know what I'm saying? And then not only that, what if the sentence is very cruel? We just got finished reading, vengeance is mine. But you want to throw the hammer at a person because of how you feel. So I'm going to go with no on that one. We shouldn't be up on that jury duty.
Okay. Well, we're gonna stick a pin right here. And here's what, you know, has been presented to the congregation. Were you there? No. How could you rule on something, someone's life, when you weren't there? You know, people lie all the time. This is in addition to something, you know, the two of you have said. You know, people lie all the time. We've seen court cases where, you know, the defense attorney, oh, they come up with all kind of things. They're going to point fingers at other people who are innocent to turn, you know, away from you. They're going to bring in all kinds of excuses as to why you did it or why you wouldn't have done it. And, you know, even sometimes lie to help get you out of that particular situation of being found guilty. That's what they're paid to do. They are paid to get this jury or this judge. Sometimes it doesn't go before a jury, but get this judge to, you know, get you out of there, to rule that you did not do it. And they are successful many times. what happens when you see these cases that are now overturned after 20 years because you ruled on someone's life and they got 20 years and they should have never been sentenced? Do you want to go to bed with that? Is God, you know, is that a position for God's people? No. No, absolutely not. Because if the family is pursuing revenge, are you now playing a part in that revenge? Possibly. We don't know. We can't see. We don't have all of the information. So, you know what? We really don't belong on a jury. We don't. And if we as Christian people have been on a jury, yeah, you need to get up out of that. And you can. You can, based on that argument. You know, if you're, you know, your pastor, your church, you know, they can give you a letter that helps you take that stand. They have accepted those letters. Yes, I'm telling you, fact. You know, and let them know how you feel. Because remember, they when they're choosing the jury, they surely don't want somebody who's going to be shaken. Nah, they go with people they think is going to, you know, do it. They need to do it and find somebody guilty. So, thank you. You didn't help somebody today, the two of you, with this jury duty thing. Okay? All right. Let's go with Deuteronomy 32:35. Deuteronomy 32:35, and it says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay in due time. Their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." Ooh, that says some stuff here. How does that fit with a parole situation, Pastor Sharlin?
I was trying to find it because you was reading so fast. I was trying to find it.
I'm sorry. I'll read it again, maybe for some listeners as well. It says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." So how does that help us when we're talking about this parole thing? Understanding this parole thing.
Well, first, God, well, my always thing with the parole thing is God needs to touch their heart too. And that goes too, that's a hard job too. Just thought about it. So when the revenge, it says I will take the revenge. So on God, we'll do it. And with that, he will, try to get my glasses together. Let me come back. Let me just read it. Can I just read it?
Okay.
I'm gonna come back. Come back to
Minister me. AJ, what you got for us when it comes to parole? You know, how does this verse address that?
It's pretty much, you know, it addresses it because, you know, God is again affirming, you know, confirming that vengeance is his. And he's saying that their foot shall slip, you know, and he's pretty much saying in due time, you know, there is a time, you know, it is already an appointed time that their foot is going to slide, you know what I'm saying? And they're, you know, they're going to doom themselves or God is going to judge them in that particular time. So God has already got a set time for these people, you know what I'm saying? You don't need to try to set a time yourself, and he's clearly saying vengeance is him. You know, it belongs to him. It has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with God.
Okay, okay. Thank you, Pastor Sharlin.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
So it's just,
what you got?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, we know vengeance is the Lord's anyway. And yes, in due time, they will slip and slide because, you know, especially a guilty person, a lot of times they repeat, they become repetitive of what they have done and their crimes. So that goes right back to what I said. When they go outside, you know, come out, that they still, we're going to do the crime again. I'm not saying all. I'm just saying general, that they will do it again. And we already know that in due time season, just as well, we reap what we sow. And just use
okay.
that one too. We reap what we sow.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right, all right. So we've got Romans 2:6. Romans 2:6. See, if everybody had their pen in their hand, you could keep up with us. Make sure you write these scriptures down, because I'm sure somewhere in your life, you know, we may have to go back to this when somebody made us mad. All right, Romans 2:6. Okay. We got God will repay each person according to what they have done. So there we have it. Come on, we remember now we're attacking this from different angles. You may have touched on it. You may have said it, but listen, help people understand. Some people may not be getting this thing. They may not be getting this thing. Pastor Charlene, helping people understand that, you know what? It says God will, you know, render payment according to what they have done. How does this help us with this, you know, trying to swallow, you know, somebody did something to my brother or my sister, my friend, my this, my that, and God will pay them according to what they have done?
When we take it in our own hands, you know, it is going back to we just as guilty. We are just as guilty. And once we give it to God and let God, whatever happens, let God do it. And we just have to continue to, because he's the judge. He's the actual judge for all crimes. And we should not even put our foot even in it. That's why I said I wanted to repent, because I felt like I did that. And so that's according to whatever we have done. At the end of the day, we're going to pay. We have to answer. I should say that. We have to answer to God for all that has we have done, said, or been a part of.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Mr. AJ, what you got?
Yeah, it just shows you again that you should leave it in the hands of God because and take your emotions off the table, because what we don't realize a lot of times is because we handle things in the natural way, not the way the word says, it spills over to other things. Because also, is it viewed as a form of unforgiveness on our part? Okay, they did this, and this is what I feel they should have. And you're not even in a place of, to me, forgiven. And then now you want somebody to forgive you. If the shoe was on the other foot, how would you look at it? You get what I'm saying to you? And I think that's why the Bible sets such good guidelines, because once we start getting emotional in it, it's going to spill over to other things. What if we go now and try to repay them? Now we want to avenge them. You get what I'm saying to you? And God is clearly saying, I'm going to take care of them. So you lose your 2% of salvation. You know what I mean? By not doing it the way the word is telling you to do it. And that's why you got to learn how to remove your emotions and your feelings so it don't spill over into something else. And, you know, that you're not even conscious of the fact that you're not even forgiving.
Okay. I got another one. Ooh, and this walks right into one of the two situations, and I want you to call it out when I call you. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Minister AJ, which one does this fall into?
To me, it's the parole situation. You know,
okay.
I can't remember exactly what you read right now, but short-term memory now. But, yeah, you know, to me, it ties into
the parole situation. You know, we want to seek vengeance and set the time and the limit and everything else. And it's up to God, man. It's totally in the hands of God, you know. So for me, it's the parole situation.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to read the verse again for you, Pastor Charlene, mm-hmm. Leviticus 19:18, and our listeners. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Pastor
okay.
Charlene, which one does that fall into?
I was thinking of, I want to say the setup, and the reason why I want to say that is because, but then it was like he was in his ear all day and all night. But I want to say that one. And the reason I'm saying that one is because, you know, even though we know that the enemy is going to push us, we know, you know, because you said that he came to the Lord and he knew the Lord. So even with that, you know, his flesh got in the way, but that's the one I want to say. I want to say the setup, pray a little harder, you know, seek God a little harder, maybe. Yeah, I want to say that one, the setup, the
okay.
third one. When I say that.
Okay. Hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are we not getting this? How are we, you know, right now we're talking about, okay, so one of you chose the parole situation, and, you know, she was seeking vengeance. And then we have, the other one where it was, you know, the two guys in the cell together. You know, how do we find love your neighbor as yourself in all of this? Let's start with you, Pastor Charlene.
Okay. What the one that I'm saying is, did he try to minister, or did the situation of his sister jump in? He did try to go to the to the correction officers, you know, to let them know that he really didn't want to be in there. You know, he knew that feeling was coming back, you know, and even though that the guy was in there talking about everybody else as well, that's when we have to kick it up a notch, because we know that it's going to come with that people going to come up against us and put in our face of what they have done to us or to our family, you know. And so with the love part was that maybe he should have took his Bible and started reading it out loud, you know, praying out loud, you know, and with that he could have shut that enemy down, you know, those voices. With that, you know, eventually, you know, he could have had the guy to start, well, you know, this is not working, so let me stop doing that, you know. And so now he could have had the time to maybe say, you know what, let me see what you're reading. Who's this person that you're talking about? And that would have been that opportunity to show that love, you know, even though I know that you did this to my sister. And it's a hard bullet to bite. You know, but, you know, that would have been his opportunity, you know, to be able to conquer that. And that's where that love your neighbor, you know, and not, as Minister AJ said, don't go in your feelings, you know, being able to do God's work, because that's what we're going. We are standing up against right now. How many people that come in the different ministries, you know, and the enemy comes in. You know, and we have to still show that love, which that is what God is, love. So we have to be able to override that. And then you know where your weak spot is too, because that goes with that walk by faith and not by sight come in.
Okay. Minister AJ, how does this fall into this love your neighbor as yourself?
I mean, it's really big because a lot of times the first problem is we don't love ourselves, you know, and we don't know. And I think a lot of times we forget that we, you know, when we describe love, we describe it self, not self-seeking, not boastful, but we always leave out the fact that God is love. And that's the thing, you know, you got to be in that union with God to really know what real love is. And that's why the Bible says, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. When you have the love of Christ, it's going to take you to a whole other level of understanding, you know, understanding. And sometimes we forget, you know, to love the neighbors ourselves. So that when a person is going through something or doing something, we're quick to throw the book at them rather than saying, if it was me. You get what I'm saying to you? How would I want somebody to even treat me? We forget that part, you know, and the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, when your brother's overtaken in a fault, you as a spiritual person ought to restore him. So a lot of times because we're not in the place where we need to be in God and don't know what God says about it, we definitely miss. And I'll say we don't love ourselves because we don't even put nothing on our ground so that we know what to do. So it's like we totally twisted from the beginning. You know, we can't love our neighbor because we don't love ourselves.
Wow. Now, we got a few more minutes. I want to address this thing with the guy in the prison, the one who his sister was raped. He makes a point to say, you know what, I've given my life to the Lord. I've stopped gangbanging. How challenging is it after we give our lives to the Lord, quote unquote, you know, set up. Oh, there we got it. Set up. Who was he ultimately being set up by? Oh, give me that one. Pastor Shaw.
That's what I said. The enemy. That's what I said, the enemy, because of the fact that with when you was like going back to when you were saying of they didn't come to his rescue. They didn't take him out of that. He came to you. He said, I need you not to keep me here. I need you to move me. So he already knew his own limit. And then his limit is why he wanted to be able to come out. And who was he set about? He was set about the enemy. And, you know, and to also to see how, you know, they probably, like when I said earlier, they probably say, you know what, well, okay, he say he's safe, he's this, that, and the other. Let's see what he really going to do.
Okay. Minister AJ, who was he set up by?
He was set up by the enemy because he put his weakness into the air, and Satan is the prince of the air. And like most times, we put our weakness in the air, but then we don't infuse God into it. You know, God, yes, I'm saved, but this is my weakness right now. And then we don't start confirming or affirming that God's going to take care of us. We just put the problem in the air, but then there's no affirmation. God, I know you're going to take care of me, even though this is a weakness. God, I know that you're not going to allow me to do anything to this man because vengeance is just. We always put the problem in the air and then wonder why we get beat up by the enemy. It's because we have nothing to combat what we put in the air. And Satan hears everything, and he knows now how to play on your emotions and your feelings because you did everything but infuse God. You said, yeah, I'm saved now, but that's not enough. You have to affirm, you know, what's going to happen, you know. And, you know, if you speak to this mountain and command this mountain to be removed and then don't doubt in your heart, and then you speak these things and you believe it shall come to pass. We got to affirm things in the atmosphere other than just the weakness.
All righty. We have a comment from one of our listeners. Thank you both. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. God bless you all. How are you today?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Bless you, sir.
I'm well, thank you. I just wanted to say, you know, that you can say that you're saved. You know, and sometimes, you know, it depends how long you've been saved. Did you just give your life to Christ? You're not. Just because you speak that you're saved doesn't mean that you're strong in the Lord. The Bible says every time I try to do good, evil was always present. So understanding that the enemy is not going to bother you when you're on his side. Now that you're trying to do good and trying to do the right thing, now he's going to come and confront you to see just how saved are you. You know, I always go back to something Shanti says about triggers. You know, the enemy understands your trigger. He understands the buttons that he can push in order to get you to the other side. Yeah, you might say with your mouth and even believe it with your heart that you're saved, but it depends on how much of a relationship you have with God. You know, you went to the officials and you said, listen, please take me away from this. You know, you went to the higher-ups and you pushed the button and said, listen, I can't do this anymore. But you never went to God and said, hey, listen, God, I need you to keep me. I need you to keep me where I can't keep myself. I need you to control me because only you can. You can do anything other than fail. You went to everybody else. You went to man, and the Bible says that man will fail you all the time. But you never went to God and said, God, look at this situation. You to cover me.
All right. Get that preach on this morning, Pastor KL. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your contribution today. Thank you. Have a blessed one.
You do the same. You all do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, we got some comments from our listeners. Let's see what they've got to say. Shantice, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. What you got for us from our listeners?
Okay, so one comment reads, they had 40 years to forgive this man and move on. If God is requiring us to forgive even before the repentance because he forgives us and gives us mercy, who are we to have any say 40 years later? Unless the guy has been threatening you or contacting you in a malicious way, let the authorities that be handle it.
Okay. Nice comment. I need you to speak up, Shantice, for us, please.
Okay. Then we have another comment regarding when you asked who was he set up by.
Yes.
And a listener sent in, he was set up by God. God set him up for success, gave him all the tools and rules to be okay and to forgive and to let God have vengeance, but he failed.
Okay. Any other comments?
Nope.
All right. I'll take those along with Pastor KL's. And thank you all for listening and participating. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Blessed day, Shantice. Okay.
You too.
All right. Thank you. All right. I want to close this down a little bit. And before we do this, I want to make sure I cover everything. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Pastor Charlene, how does that fit in to this? All this conversation about revenge.
Well, we got it. Once again, revenge is not ours, said the Lord. It's his, so we give it to him for us to stay in perfect peace with him, keep our minds stayed on him, For us to, as you stated, for us not to engage in, I'm going to use jury duty because that was what we were talking about, and any other issues of that. Once you turn it over to the Lord and give it to him, we are better in him, we are better with him, and we sure do need him. So that will help us in that direction of becoming better.
All righty. All righty. Thank you. Minister AJ, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How does this, fall into this whole conversation of revenge?
And what was that, Matthew 4 and what?
Matthew 5:48. I'm sorry. Should have repeated that. Matthew 5:48.
Be perfect. And, a lot of times when the shoe is on the other foot, we don't strive for perfection. What I mean by perfection is trying to really understand the next person. We don't strive for perfection in love, perfection in grace, perfection in mercy, as the Father does. The Father's not quick to hang us, to throw us away, to turn his back on us. But his love is perfect. And the Bible also says love covers a multitude of sins. But what happens with us, we don't strive for perfection in that. We strive to get the person. We strive to put them down. We strive to let everybody know that they done committed a crime, rather than striving for perfection as the Father who has perfected grace and mercy. That we've done some stuff, but he still loves us beyond. Are we going to strive to outdo our brother in honor, or are we going to strive to outdo them or to humiliate them? So two different things. But strive for that perfection and grace and mercy.
All righty, all righty. I got one last one for us all. Philippians 4:8. This is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Your closing on this particular verse, Pastor Charlene.
Okay, can you just tell us the verse again? I heard you said Philippians as I was right.
4:8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
Okay, and your question to me was again? I'm sorry. I was trying to write while you were talking, but I didn't hear
your closing statement on the verse. Not a question. You give your closing based on that verse. You want me to read it again?
Yes, please.
Okay. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What's your closing statement that you have for the listeners today?
My closing statement is that the word is true. We have to live it. We have to do it. We honor God in everything that we do. We also have to know that whose side are we leaning on, and for us to be able to have a better understanding of who you are and whose you are. And that way, once you do that, then you'll be able to do what God has called us all to do. And once we came to Christ, it's no longer ourselves. It's all about him and what we do for him and how we represent him. Who is him? Him is God, Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit be able to show you and be able to hear from you. And that's how we bring that to remembrance, and that's he will be with us in our walk and in our talk. So you give it to him and ask him to guide and lead you, and that way it becomes the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is nothing but God's word. So let us all live it and let us all do it in spite of we have to do what God has called us to do as being his children and being become believers.
All righty. Thank you, Pastor Sharlin. Minister AJ, what's your close today based on that verse?
My closing today is that, you know, when we overthink, it causes us to create something that don't exist. When we overthink, I'll take it a step further, when we overthink incarnality, it causes us to create something that don't exist. And the problem with us a lot of times is we go by what we see. Again, important to know the word, that what you see is temporal, meaning temporary, but what you don't see is eternal. It's actually what it's going to be. So you cannot go by what you see, and you can't go by what you think in the carnal, but you got to constantly think on things that are true, lovely, and honest, and of good report. And those are the things that's going to cause your mind to be guarded and to be guided in the right direction. It doesn't matter what it looks like, God. I'm thinking on these things, and you're going to protect my mind. And a lot of times we overthink, and the situation is not what it is. Put it in the hands of God and watch God work.
All righty, Minister AJ. Thank you, Pastor Sharlin and Minister AJ, for this conversation today. I'm sure there's a lot of thinking going on based on your comments and your breakdown of these scriptures. Thank you so much, and I pray that you have a blessed day.
You both do the same, and the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take this time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, with thanksgiving, and we enter your courts with praise for who you are. Thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for just raising the bar today, raising the bar on the way we think, raising the bar on, you know, what we need to do, how we need to shift, loving one another, taking care of one another, learning how to hurt but still give you thanks, learning how to hurt but leave it in your hands. You know, this is a big issue in this world. How do we pay one another back for what they've done or what they haven't done? How do we handle, you know, our participation in these processes? And Lord, you have really, your word has really shined a light today. And my prayer, God, is that we as ministers, as well as, you know, our listeners, your listeners, as recipients of your word, God, that we would not just be hearers, but we would be doers, God. You know, not telling people how hard this is going to be, or not leaning on the fact that it's hard. You didn't say it would be easy. But your son said, all you who are heavy laden, come to me, for I will give you rest and peace. You know, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you've offered up assistance. You've offered up a remedy. If it was going to be easy, then you wouldn't have put that out there for us. Your son wouldn't be standing in the gap for us if it was all that easy to get over or to step out of or to do. So, Lord, we bring all of this to you, and we lay it at your feet today. And, Lord, we're asking that you have begun a different process in our life today. You've revealed what it is we need to look at today, and we thank you. Are we trying to handle things on our own? Are we trying to look at things, you know, just through carnal eyes? Or are we taking a Christian view And are we trying to implement what you say we should do and we should be about? Thank you so much for giving us another opportunity to get it right. Thank you so much again, God, for investing in us today. We are coming back to you and we're saying thank you, because we know that without you and your son, we would be nothing. As long as we try to handle it on our own, we are nothing. And Lord, we're asking for forgiveness today for all the times that we thought we were doing something. You know, it's amazing how you just take care of us over and over and over again, even when we think we don't, even when we don't think we need taken care of. But you always got us, and we will never fail to give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen. Oh, my goodness. What a conversation. So many things to think about. Has it really, you know, pushed you to a point where you had to think? There was a whole lot given here today. We had from our Pastor Charlene, Minister AJ, we've got from our listeners, we've got from Pastor KL. Has any of these things taken root? Any of it taken root? And, you know, God has been very clear in his word about seeking revenge and don't hold any grudges against people. And, you know, people say, well, I'm just supposed to just walk off and forget what they did. Well, what does the word of God say? You know, we're talking about some serious stuff here. And one of the things I want to point my finger to today is, like I've been saying for the past few months, God says, you know, I'm talking to everybody, but I'm primarily talking to those of you who have claimed that you are mine, that put that claim in. Well, isn't that what the inmate did? I want to go back to the question that I asked. Who set him up? Well, you got that, ooh, ah, because my thought went to God. You claim to be his. I'm with the listener. Yes, we know that the enemy has all kinds of things that he does. However, one of the things that I always remind myself of is whatever's going on out here that we, you know, we know the enemy is involved in, God didn't stop it. If it went through, God didn't stop it. So even if we don't know the mind of God and we can't emphatically say God set him up, what we can say is God was sitting right there when the setup was going on. So in a sense, he did set this up. Just by his allowance, he set it up. And, you know, you claim you belong to the Lord. And Pastor KL said something that was really key. You know, how deep in this, you know, walk was he? Because if he picked up the fact that he needed to change his life, he needed to not gangbang in the prison system, that's phenomenal. However, who is in that prison system to nurture and to guide him? And the reason why I want to bring that out is because I want to challenge you today. See, he has an excuse in a sense, because if he says, you know, I need a change in my life, I got to give my life to the Lord, I got to stop gang banging, I got to stop committing these crimes, I got to stop doing this, and someone helped him to make the decision, but no one helped to keep him on that journey. No one helped to nurture him. Now he really has got to rely on the Lord, because, hey, he ain't got nothing else to fall on. However, you are sitting out here with all the opportunity in the world, with all the people in the world, with its due time in your pocket. What are you doing with that opportunity? Are you trying to wing it by yourself? Because you don't like to be reprimanded. You don't want to be chastised. You don't want that correction. So therefore, you know, you're going to try to get this done on your own. And you're on a snail's pace journey. Well, let me tell you something. Once you make the decision that you need to give God your life, you become a target of the enemy. Pastor K.L. said it when he said, hey, the enemy ain't got to fight for you when you belong to him because he already got you. It's not until you say, hey, I'm making a decision here. And Pastor Sharlin and Minister H.A., they continuously pounded in that forgiveness, that, you know, let me just get myself together, let me regroup, and let me start all over again, let me step out of it. Are we taking that stance? Are we taking that stance to stay out of a whole lot of things that belong to the Lord and focus on the things that we're supposed to do? Faith without works is dead. God got the faith part once you give it to him. What happens to the works part? Are we so busy seeking revenge in our own way that we are not focusing more on getting it right with God, doing the works that we need to do to make it happen? Because, yeah, we got a responsibility. And a lot of times, because we're so busy trying to figure out, well, you know, who's doing this, who shot John, and now, you know, it's something that you need to make sure that, you know, you are a part of. You know, listen, how bad could it be? You know, they invite the family to have some say in what, how long the parolee, or if they should become a parolee, how much time they get. They want to hear from the family. How many times have we said, yes, I do have the allowance to get involved, but you know what? It belongs to God, so I'm going to leave it at his feet. And I'm going to step back, and I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray not just for me, not just for my family, but I'm going to pray for that inmate, that person who committed the crime, because they need our prayer as well. You know, one of these cases, this thing happened when he was 16 and 17 years old. He served 40 years. Now, could he come out and still commit a crime? Absolutely. Could he come out completely emerging as a person who has served this 40 years and now I'm okay because, you know, that's the stupid stuff I did as a kid? Yes, he absolutely could. And one of the things we have to remember is God says, listen, I know what's going on. I know the true heart of everyone. I know the true mind of everyone. And some of them come right back out of jail and they commit the same crime or something more heinous. It was like, see, I just stayed up in there. But God says, in my time, I'm going to address everything that they have done. I don't forget. I don't forget. Think on these things, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, I say to you, what is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How about we take that to the Lord and we say, God, I'm thinking on things that these men could walk into, and I'm going to lift them up in prayer, that the time that they have served is all the time that they needed, and that they would emerge as new people. And these are the things I'm going to think on. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through this day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. I want to thank my due time crew for holding it down and helping us understand what God is expecting of us. I want to thank our listeners for hanging out with us today and contributing to the conversation. Thank you. So many profound points were made. As always, seek Christ as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where it's Wow Wednesday. I love you.